Welcome back to Sports Byline USA, coast to coast and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. It's our pleasure to have comedian Bill Maher with us. He's going to be in the Bay Area this weekend. He's got a show on Saturday at the Marin Civic Center and then on Sunday at the San Jose Civic Auditorium. And you can go to BillMaher.com for tickets. Bill, welcome to the show. And I'm in my 50s. I remember your original stand-up, which I was a big fan of. How has it changed for you now in these big venues? And what are people expecting, I guess, when they see you now, Bill?
Well, I think everything has changed since the pandemic. First of all, they're expecting safety. You know, that's been a big problem in the blue states, especially, where they're more concerned about it than the red states. Mm-hmm. So I just, you know, first of all, let people know that I think it's a pretty safe environment that we're providing for them, especially if you've been vaccinated. I don't think anybody has anything to worry about. But other than that, you know, the last time I was on stage before June of this year when I went back on the road was Trump was in office. So it's a whole new world. I think what they're expecting and what I'm giving them is a whole new act because that's what is demanded. Things have changed a lot. We have a different president. We have a different outlook. We have different things to worry about and different things to laugh about.
You know, basically 30 years now, you've been doing what you've been doing from Politically Incorrect to Real Time with Bill Maher. But still in my mind, I think if you're Paisley vest joke, or when your dad said you dropped your pants for your dad. I still think of you as that guy.
Wow, that's you do go back with me. Yeah, that's I remember that Paisley vest joke. That was one of the first ones I ever wrote. Yeah, how does it?
it's a
you
class.
Probably remember it better than I do. But yeah, that was my original act, and of course. You know, you have fond memories, but you can't be doing the jokes you did 30 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, you get what people expect from me is something extremely up to date. And that's what makes it a joy for me anyway. I mean, that who wants to do that? I want to talk about what's going on now. And, you know, there's just so much. And of course, one of the differences is that, you know, even 10 years ago, I had very little to make fun of on the left.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was not attacked by anybody on the left. Then we got into the woke era. And I'm a traditional liberal. And we are very often at variance. So, look, I think the right is by far the more dangerous party right now. They're playing with the kind of fire that we have never seen anyone play with before, denying elections, denying the reliability of who gets into office and whatnot and QAnon and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I did a show in Nashville about 3 weeks ago, and the audience was almost 50-50. I don't think that happens anywhere in America anymore, where someone can talk to a crowd that is politically divided and do political material, and everyone was, some people would groan at this, some people would groan at that, but at the end of the day, everybody was laughing, enjoying being together. That's what we have to get back to. I really feel like this country is coming apart at the seams, and we have to start being together, talking together, not looking at each other as an other. And I think that begins with not talking about politics all the time, except at my show.
Yes. You know what's interesting is that I think about the days when, like, Reagan and Tip O'Neill would get a drink. Like, that would never happen now, would it?
Exactly. That's a great point. Reagan and Tip O'Neill would get a drink. Two Irishmen would sit down. They knew they didn't agree on everything, and that's okay. It is a big country. You are never going to find everyone to agree with you. We never used to be in this mindset that if someone doesn't agree with me, I have to own them and destroy them and pulverize them. You're not going to do it. First of all, trying to talk someone into your politics is a fool's errand. It's like trying to talk Tom Cruise out of Scientology. You're never going to do it. I've never done it. When Religious came out, my movie about religion, mm-hmm. thousands of people have come up to me over the years since then and said, you know, I used to be religious. I saw your movie. You're right. That's a bunch of crap. I've never heard anyone come up to me and say, you know, I used to be a conservative and now I'm listening to you. I'm a liberal now, boy. You really turned me around. I have many conservatives come up to me and say, I watch your show. I don't agree on a lot of what you say, but you're fair. You know, you're not afraid to attack your own tribe when you think they're wrong, and you have conservatives on who represent that point of view, but they don't say they've converted. So you're not going to convert somebody. Get off of Facebook. Stop arguing with some kid you went to third grade with about Brett Kavanaugh, because that's not going to help anything.
A couple more questions for Bill Maher. Speaking of third grade, I mean, we're at the point now where we have to worry about calling somebody fat in the third grade, and that's going to come back to haunt us. And I think what's interesting, Ari Shaffir, fellow comedian, said that woke is the only religion where there's no forgiveness. I mean, your career must end. Do you think there's going to be a bounce back? I mean, have we got to the point now where people say, okay, enough is enough?
Well, that is the $24 zillion question. Is there going to be a backlash? We thought that was going to happen when the millennials morphed into the Gen Z generation, but the Gen Z generation was even worse. Now, I'm not going to make fun of them because I might need their blood someday, but in general, what happened, I mean, Jonathan Haidt wrote the book about this, and it's a great book. He talks about what happened in 2015 when we see the change over to Gen Z, and it got worse. Before that, the millennials were not the generation of microaggressions or of safe spaces. Every generation seems to get more fragile and more coddled. I mean, we had helicopter parents. Now we have bulldozer parents who clear everything out of the way of their little darlings. Mm. And, I mean, this is the provenance to me of the problem, is the way people are raised, what their expectations are, and then where they go to school. I mean, the indoctrinations that are going on in elite universities all across the country. And I don't know what they're learning, except to be very afraid of pretty much everything. And when people say to me, you know, sometimes their reaction to something I do on the show is, oh, well, you're old. Yeah, maybe, but that's why I'm not stupid like you, okay? You know, I mean, a third of the people under 30 think we should not just defund the police, abolish the police. Mm. Abolish? Well, these must be fans of the Purge movie series, because that's not a great outcome. Abolish the police. Another third of people under 30 think it might be a good idea to try communism again. Mm. Yeah, that's why it's good being old, because I remember when half the world was communism. It didn't work. It's probably a dumb idea to do it again. So am I old? Maybe. But I don't think old. I don't act old. They act older than I do. They think older than I do. I'm not the one who needs a Klonopin and a trigger warning to get through an episode of Friends.
Well, that's the thing, too, I think is interesting, is that the college crowds, you know, 20 years ago used to be the fun crowds, but now a lot of comedians just won't do those crowds because they get a list of taboo
right.
topics, and you can't go to Williamsburg because everyone's going to groan. They feel like they have to in some sort of narcissistic response.
No, that's very true. I mean, I remember a few years ago, Jerry Seinfeld, whose act is pretty clean, you know, I mean, and Chris Rock and Larry the Cable Guy all said together they were not going to do colleges, you know. A black guy, a Jew, and a redneck walk into a bar, and they say, we're not going to tell jokes to college kids. I think colleges, but of course, you know, colleges have their own type of comics now who go up there and I guess do material that I'm sure I wouldn't find terribly funny because it doesn't rattle anyone's cage. And to me, the whole point of doing comedy was to get at the truth. The whole point, I mean, I named my show, my first show, Politically Incorrect, for a reason, because political correctness means playing it safe. It's what politicians do. It's what saying what you want the world to be as opposed to what it is. Comics are the opposite. You know, whenever somebody says to me, you're an actor, right? I'm like, no, that's the opposite of what I am. I'm not pretending to be somebody. I'm the person who is out there telling you what I think really is and not pulling a punch on that. But that doesn't work in today's campuses.
No doubt. Last question for you, Bill. You basically called January 6th. So is there any other sort of prescient, harbinger message that you have for us politically?
Well, that it's going to happen again. You know, I mean, it was in the news this week that Trump's lawyer, Eastman, was basically the one who was plotting this coup I called it a slow-moving coup even before he was elected, that, you know, they're concentrating on the clowns who broke into the Capitol, which was plainly breaking and entering. They broke stuff, and then they entered. Okay, that's against the law, and they should get their comeuppance for that. But this was plotted at the highest levels. I mean, he had a 6-point plan. Number one was get Mike Pence to lie, talk about these states where they say the vote was not counted fairly, which, of course, it was, even by Republicans. So, you know, this slow-moving coup has just been delayed. It's not over. Trump's going to run again. He could very well win again, legitimately, as he won legitimately in 2016. I mean, he didn't win the popular vote. Who cares? That's not the way we play the game here. That's the rules. He understood that. He played a much better game than Hillary, and that could happen again. But if it doesn't, do we really expect him to concede? He hasn't conceded the last election yet. I'm surprised he's not out there right now doing the kind of rallies he was doing a couple of years ago, where he was yelling at me every week about this crazy sicko comedian who says I'm not leaving. Well, yeah, you kind of didn't.
It's Bill Maher. A lot more of that in person here in the Bay Area, Marin Civic Center on Saturday, San Jose Civic Auditorium on Sunday. BillMaher.com for tickets. Bill, great to have you on the show, man. Really appreciate it.
Really appreciate you. Thanks, Rick.
All right. I'm Rick Tittle. We'll take a quick break and come on back on Sports Byline.